Welcome, great patriotic friends, to August 6th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. I'm actually not a history teacher. I'm an IT guy. I troubleshoot networks and security systems for a living. I just happen to do this show because I'm a proud patriotic American. And hopefully you're listening because you are also a proud patriotic American. I podcast this show from America's finest city, San Diego, California. By the way, in case you're looking to move here, or if you have any questions about refinancing or real estate investments, the first thing you should do is check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com and then give her a call, 619-507-4906. That's 619-507-4906. And let's begin the show, as we customarily do, with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, put our right hands over our hearts, and face the flags and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's awesome. And now moving on to today's headlines.
General Washington's spy realizes the need for a cover story.
Game of Thrones is published. And a couple birthday shoutouts to Lucille Ball and Edith Roosevelt, Teddy's wife. All right, so now let's do this.
1779. General Washington's spy realizes the need for a cover. Without the aid of the Culper spy ring, it's unlikely that George Washington and his Continental Army would have been able to defeat the British Redcoats. Then again, the same could be said if it weren't for the funding of financier Robert Morris, or the military aid of the French for that matter. George Washington would need all the lucky breaks he could get. And with mild-mannered Robert Townsend of Oyster Bay, New York, he found that lucky break, in fact. And never even knew his name. Townsend lived near present-day City Hall Park. He sold dry goods at a shop at the bottom of Wall Street near Hanover Square. He replaced another spy, Abraham Woodhull, after Woodhull's cover grew under suspicion and his family was beaten while he was away. So in order to effectively spy on British troop movement, questions would need to be asked. But how? It was on this day he admitted in a letter to Washington, quote, "I saw and conversed with two officers of different corps from Kingsbridge, from neither of whom I could obtain an account of the situation of the army there. I was afraid of being too particular," unquote. The answer was ingenious. James Rivington, who was born in England in 1724, came to the American colonies in 1760 and opened a bustling print shop right there in Hanover Square. His paper, the Royal Gazette, was full of loyalist propaganda and other yellow journalism. The Sons of Liberty actually hanged a Rivington effigy, and a mob burnt down his house and his shop. He returned to England, but King George sent him back in 1777 to reopen his shop and become the king's appointed printer. Townsend had a skill for writing, as it just so happened. So what a better way to add a few bucks to his salary by getting a job there. Rivington hired Townsend to add to his beloved newspaper, giving Townsend unlimited freedom to ask all the questions he wanted without arousing suspicion. If you think Washington caught a lucky break there, it gets better. If you're British, you might want to cover your ears for this one. Major John Andre of the British Army was stationed by General Henry Clinton in New York City as a counter-spy. That's right! He was hunting anyone that would spy for Washington. Turns out, Andre was a poet, although his poetry was really not much more than a collection of silly rhymes. But Andre was a popular man in New York City, had a big ego, and wanted to publish his poetry, or whatever you want to call it. So he also worked for Rivington's print shop, right next to the spy that he was looking for, and didn't suspect Townsend to be that spy. Townsend didn't stop there. He also opened up a coffee house right next to the print shop and enjoyed the conversations going on between British redcoats who would visit his establishment and talk amongst themselves about things such as soirees, the latest gossip, oh, and troop movement. To be continued. 1996, George R.R. Martin's publishes Game of Thrones. It was the first in a series called The Song of Ice and Fire. The novel won the 1997 Locus Award and was nominated for both the 1997 Nebula Award and the World Fantasy Award. The novella Blood of the Dragon
compromising the Daenerys Targaryen chapters from the novel, won the 1997 Hugo Award for Best Novella. In January 2011, the novel became a New York Times bestseller and reached number one on the list in July later that year. Back in 2005, Time magazine called Martin the American Tolkien, referring, of course, to British author J.R.R. Tolkien, who gave us The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. In 2011, a TV adaptation began airing on HBO, and last I checked, broke the record for the most Emmys for a drama series. On September 18, 2016, Thrones won awards for Best Writing, Best Directing, and Best Drama, bringing its all-time total to 38. Also making the most Emmy awards for a fictional series. Wait a minute, fiction? You mean dragons aren't real?
1936. Here are the headlines. Des Moines Sunday Register. Owen ties Drake Dashmark. News Telegraph. Hitler hosts Olympics. New York Times. Owens completes triple as five Olympic marks fall. 2 days ago, I talked in detail about how furious the Führer was that his Aryan race wasn't as superior as he thought they might be after the Buckeye Bullet won the long jump, relay, and 100 and 200 meter races. After all, Hitler went all out for this event. By eliminating almost all of the Jews from his teams, including pro tennis player Daniel Prinn, boxing champ Eric Salig, and track and field superstar Lily Hannock, the Führer was ready to prove to the world that Nazi Germany was here to stay, providing a state-of-the-art Olympic facility the world had never seen. And there were the Olympic flags, displayed proudly next to the swastika flag. While Germany would win the Olympics with 33 medals, and the Americans would come in second place with 24, Hitler's dream possibly would have come true if it weren't for Jesse Owens, a black man competing with Aryans and physically outmatching them all. And the headlines did not lie. And finally, 1861, happy birthday, Edith Roosevelt from Norwich, Connecticut. Former First Lady of the U.S. and wife of Teddy Roosevelt.
So that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for August 6th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For instance,
what about Robert Townsend? Crazy story on that, right? Kind of reminds me of an old Bugs Bunny cartoon for some reason.
Game of Thrones fans, what did that get, like 23 nominations or something like that for HBO? That's awesome. Or what about Lucille Ball fans? Is she or is she not one of the most smartest, most intelligent women to ever hit Hollywood? So yeah, let me know what you think. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about Operation Desert Shield, the Neutrodyne Circuit, Revolving Door, Purple Heart, Ted Williams, and Jewel. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is JDUSHL. Until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you tomorrow.